Today's lesson is taken from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 26. And you can find it in the Church Bibles on page 1033. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone. Shall we just pray? Lord, we ask you to speak to us through your Spirit, explain your word, and lead us into your truth. Amen. So, in our sermon series on Luke, which is entitled Good News for Everyone, we heard from Richard that Jesus was in Galilee, was healing and preaching and challenging the church hierarchy with his actions and words, even claiming that he could forgive sins. The healings of the paralyzed man and the man with leprosy put these claims front and center. The local Pharisees and others were infuriated and were looking for ways to kill him. This passage is given the title, "The Sermon on a Level Place." Why? Well, the obvious answer is that it differentiates between this and the Sermon on the Mount. That is true, but it's not actually the complete answer. If we study our Bibles, we see that many passages of Scripture from what we call the Old Testament show meetings of mankind with God in high places, e.g. Moses on Mount Horeb. These high places were where people placed altars and were given significant meaning for meeting with God. So the Sermon on the Level Place is different. God meets us where we live on a day-to-day basis. A place of sin, bad people and situations of hunger, homelessness, greed and death and war. Level places are significant because this is where we live day by day. Of course, there are good things around us. Beauty, spacious places, flowers, trees, and some very good and helpful people. There are those that are rich and use their riches well, but there are those who waste what God has graciously provided. So there is a stark contrast in our world of those who have and those who do not. The level place is a hard place, But this is the place as Christians in which we have to live and to do God's work. So we come to the passage which is helpfully entitled Blessings and Woes, giving us a clue to where the writer Luke is going to take us, but not provided by him, that is the title, but by compilers of the Bible many years later. We shall start with blessings, but first, setting the scene in verses 17 to 19, it says, "He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. The he, of course, is Jesus. He is causing a stir, and the crowds are following him wherever he goes. They have heard of the miracles and signs during these periods of healing and signs he speaks and where he speaks to the crowd. He is on the level place, and it is significant. He is in the place of sin and ordinary people. He is also among the rich and the teachers of the law and the soldiers of Rome. This level place is as low as God's representative can go, and this is not the place they expect to meet him. God is in the high places, the temple on the mount, Horeb or Sinai and others. Jesus is at work. He brings God close to his chosen people, the Jews. Do they recognize him? Do they ignore him? Will they kill him? All these things will be answered in due course, but who will believe what they see, hear, and witness? The crowds, as we see in the first verses, are blessed. They are released from illness, spirits, and pain. They are seeing God at work, or are they? Some were persuaded to believe and follow Jesus and will be blessed in various ways, but also trouble was around the corner. Jesus was heading to Jerusalem and the culmination of his work to save mankind. What would these blessings be? So next we come to the meaty part of the sermon. Jesus would speak at length and the crowd gathered round, both followers, disciples and detractors. Jesus says in verses 20 to 23, looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets." Jesus, you see, is saying to the crowd who believe in who he is, the Son of God, that they are living in these level places, places of hardship and struggle, of pain, illness and death, that they must rise above these problems and issues to be tested as his followers. He knows what is coming for him, and also the disciples, and also those who are true followers of him. They will be harassed, tortured, exiled, and excluded, much like the people that Jesus heals and liberates from evil spirits. They will have to show their blessings through God and Jesus to the world around, and many will follow and celebrate in their newfound faith. But many will suffer in the short term for that faith in the Son of Man. There are many people who cannot see the benefit of what they would give up to follow Jesus. They see only loss of free time, rules to follow, and maybe a life of sacrifice, in some cases until the loss of their life. What do we see for ourselves? What are we giving up that prevents us giving everything to our Saviour? Maybe we see the loss of Sunday morning, monetary loss in giving to the church, and other charities that we support. Are we giving up our freedom to live as we like? Do we ask, what is our reward for our losses? You see, we forget what God and Jesus gave up for us. God, his only Son, and Jesus, his life, and sinking into our sin to save us. Jesus is not saying that to be blessed, you have to be poor. Rather, he's saying that when we see the blessings that are to come, everything that has gone before will seem poor. The change in circumstances for a Christian starts on earth, but truly comes to fruition in heaven. We will change from our poor situation to one of amazing grace. We will exchange bodies and earthly limitations for heavenly attributes. We will be rich in everything that we need because we will be in God's presence for eternity. What do we want to find? Heavenly joy or eternal torture? Jesus goes on to say in the final verses of our reading today, things are much different in the earlier verses, and there are warnings. Got some up there. When you see signs around you on the roads and streets, overhead triangle road sign, the end of the pier one there, you fall off the end, they should cause us to think and do something. What about if someone shouts to you, Brecker, don't pick up that poisonous adder? Do you carry on and pick it up and turn away? The warnings are there to keep us safe and out of danger. We ignore warnings, those that are on the screen, particularly at our peril, sometimes putting ourselves to the point of death. Jesus came to give us a choice, not an ultimatum. We as his followers have choice. We can follow and start our lives in a new direction or carry ultimately on to our doom. Verses 24 to 26. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. Jesus is giving clear warning that if we carry on living in the wrong way in this level place, then we will never attain our heavenly place. Don't get me wrong, it's not about earning our way there, being rich, having lots of power, gathering earthly riches, food, property and safety. Jesus wants us, though, to invest in him, to care for those around us. Firstly, our church family, but also those who have less than us. Those who are lonely, ill, without food or shelter, without a country to call their own. God will provide for our needs as we provide for others. The first step that needs to be made is to admit that we get the things wrong, that we fall short first of God's standards and ask for his help through Jesus. Jesus will forgive us and help us, as he did with the disciples and followers of Jesus in the early days of his church. They were tested, suffered, but were never abandoned by God, as the writer of this gospel, Luke, attests in the Acts of the Apostles. So, in conclusion, what is our good news for everyone? What does our church look like to those on the outside? Are we supportive of those who lead and preach, those who administer in our names? Do we give blessings to those around us in church and outside? Are we demonstrating our Christianity in practical ways? Do we minister to those who are ill, to those with less than us? Do we bless everywhere that we tread in Jesus' name? You see, we should rejoice that through Jesus, God forgives our sin, the times that we fall short of his standards. God sees us through Jesus' eyes and therefore can ignore that sin, but only if we pray to him and confess those things that we have done wrong. Or we can be like those others that Jesus was talking to. He was expressing the woes of the level place that we live in, those that ignore his word, that mock his sacrifice on the cross, those that gather their wealth and hoard it away for the future on one that may never come. Pictures, Mike? Thank you. This sermon series is good news for everyone. The only problem is that we are to deliver that good news. Each of us will have his own way. Lifestyle, talking, sermons, debate, and changing minds. But we all have that responsibility. If you are unsure how to change, to get extra skills, please ask, because there are many ways to find ways of living out our faith. One of them might be, are you in a connect group where we study the Bible, pray and encourage one another? The warnings are there. Don't ignore them. God wants you and others on his team and safe in their final destination. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to guide and equip us through your Holy Spirit. Show us the right way to navigate our own level place. Be with us in every situation. Lead, protect us as we show others the way to your perfect peace. In Jesus' name, amen.